Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome on this September evening. Look, tell you what, I've just noticed, I just turned around and looked outside. Normally the sun's going down and it's already down. We must be getting close to that fall back time, which I believe is probably next week or the week after. And because right now, normally you have a beautiful sunset behind us. But welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg. You're in my home right now, here in what I consider one of the most awesome cities in the entire world. I just love it here. I wish I moved to Houston, Texas so many years ago. It took me almost a lifetime to get here, but I'm so glad I finally landed in just what is an unbelievable city with a lot of opportunities, a lot of love, a lot of resilience, a lot of teamwork, a lot of diversity. Every ethnic, color, class, culture we have right here in our city. And I just think that brings us together even closer. But I just love being right here in the heart of the medical center in Houston, Texas. So welcome to the program tonight. I want to let you know we have a great guest, almost a repeat command performance to come back because she has a new book. And I always invite all of our authors, well, huddle up, not all of them, but the ones that are really good, to come back, but they have a new book coming out. And I, when I found out she had a new one, I told her publicist, I need her back because it's such an impactful work that she does. And it's so needed. And we're going to talk about that, drill down deeper later on in the program. So 888-627-6008. Let me say it again slower. Somebody told me, Greg, slow down. What's the rush? 888-627-6008. Or you can text me right here on my cell phone. Everybody around the world, text me 832-396-6525. If you want to text a comment or a question, or you can get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page and watch us right there, and then comment there. And during the break, I'll check that and make sure there's not any questions or anything. So that's the three ways to be able to get involved. But I just hope you're having a great night, a great evening, enjoying the fall weather. And we're going to get into our program right now. I had a great week last week. It's been kind of a trying and testing week. A lot of stuff going on. This is my busy time of the year as far as speaking. Next week's busy. Well, I'm crammed all the way through about November, then it finally takes a break. Latter part of when the holidays start happening, people don't really want you to come in because everybody's doing their own thing. But got a chance to go to Tulsa to speak. Got a chance to go to several different places and really thoroughly have enjoyed all of that time being able to get with them. But you know, when I come home sometimes, I feel like I'm all stressed out. Every day, it seems like I'm going through a season of anxiety. My health's not doing the best in the world. And when that happens, and it kind of, I don't know if anybody else is like this, but it kind of gets you off kilter. And when you're not on dead center, you start that right wheel starts running into the ditch. You ever done that on the highway? You're kind of driving, and well, of course, nobody texts and drive anymore, but when you actually have to respond to a text and that wheel goes off the road, it kind of jerks you and messes you up. That's what I've been going through mentally. And I want to just share with you something, and I'm going to try to get on our program, and I've been trying for the last couple of weeks to give one of the people that I believe is the most profound and interesting and wise person to talk about journaling. But I have recognized that I need to sit down and get in my journal. I have these laying all around, but have them laying all around doesn't do any good. It's like having your bottle of medicine and not taking them. It's not good enough. So I'm not going to ask you tonight to buy our author's books without reading them. It just wouldn't make sense. We don't need them to hold a door open or to do something else. It's to be able to take in the wisdom. And journaling is something that's completely different. If it wasn't for my ability and having the wisdom back then, when they didn't even have journals, if they did, I think they called them diaries, and they had a little metal lock on them with a little key that you always lost and you had to break through the diary. But females did that. Little girls had those more than us boys did. But I just used notebooks, and I just grabbed some sheet of paper and I write down my thoughts. And I don't know if I tell about it in one of my books or not, but I remember having just stacks and boxes of my notebooks, and I was looking for them one day in my closet, and they all disappeared. I think my dad destroyed them. And I remember when dad died, his wife, back in those days, said, "Hey, all your dad's stuff's out in the shed. Go out there and take what you want. It's his personal things." And I went out there looking for one thing, was my journals. And apparently he destroyed them or threw them away or burned them. Back in those days, we could have open pit burning out in the country. I can't do that in the city. You get arrested. But today, still, I have stacks and stacks of journals, and I journal every day. And some days I get so busy and my body's been so tired, I haven't had time to get into them. But I've recognized that my anxiety and my lack of making time to write has caused something up here in my head to not run straight. So I just want to share with you two or three things, then we're going to bring our guest in. But for me, and I'm being serious as a heart attack, journaling, writing thoughts down, reduces my stress. Journaling allows me to get it out, to bleed on the page, to let all the emotions be on that piece of paper from that ink right there. And I had a guest on back in the beginning, 6 years ago, that always talked about bleeding on the page. I need to emotionally bleed on the page. If not, it gets bottled up and it starts stressing me out, my out. And there's several different ways that it can reduce that stress. I have several different sides of journaling. One is I just free write. I brain dump. I just absolutely every thought in my mind, I start jotting down. I don't try to put periods and commas. I just let it flow and write all the way down and not even make sense. I need to get it out of my system. Two is I always attempt to try to somewhere on the page or in my journal have a section that's just for things that I am grateful for. I got to remember to always be grateful. Also, to release all my emotions, happiness, sadness, anger, rage, gratitude, all of that, I need to put down. And then I like the journals that are even called bullet pages. And you can get the mix of those. You can get ones that's lined on one side, bullet page on the others, so I can actually plan what I'm going to do. And if you don't have access to one right away, you're going to forget if you don't write it down. And journaling for me also increases my mental clarity. At my age, I need all the mental clarity I can get. Things start getting foggy. I can remember my phone number back when I was a kid. I cannot remember my cell phone number half the time now because we have all those speed dials and things. And you're trying to tell Siri to do something and she doesn't respond. And you keep saying, "Hey, Siri, help me with this number." And it's dead. And then you can't find it. So it helps me with clarity. It helps me organize. It helps me put priorities in order. And if you don't have those priorities in order, the things that may be not so important start taking over. And then we let the really important things in life go to the side. And I want to say right now, I need to, tomorrow morning, take care of the most important things in my life. I have some things I have to take care of. I have to take care of. And it doesn't involve what's on my desk at the office sometimes. And I think that is important. And journaling also is evidence to overcoming challenges. It helps me document if I'm growing, if I'm being resilient, where I'm weak, where I'm strong, and it kind of gives me a gauge. It's kind of like my car. And let's be honest, I don't know. I know periodically on an automobile you have to put some fluid in to keep it going. But I know every now and then you have to check that dipstick and you pull it out and you go, "Oh, wait, I'm a quart low." What is that in you personally and mentally? What dipstick and where is it in your body that you can actually go, "Hey, wait, I'm a little low." Could it be in your relationships? Could it be in an argument that you had? Could it be in just the way you feel? This is it for me. I can look in there and go, "Wait, I need help here. I need to focus a little bit more attention there." So it also increases my self-awareness of where I am, who I am, how I'm doing, where I'm going, and where I want to go. And it's my GPS for me. And then the last one, and then I want to get to our guest. It helps me improve my memory. There's a commercial that's on TV all the time. I think it's, I don't know, John Welsh does it from the America's Most Wanted show. And he does it as old something. Plus or whatever, and it's supposed to increase your memory. Obviously, I'm not very good at it because I don't take it because my memory's not very good right now. But do you know, it says that we forget 50% of what we hear in 1 hour's time. We will forget 75% of what we hear in 1 day's time. We will forget 90% of what we hear in 1 week. How do you get that back up to where we want it to be? You write it down. It's as simple as that. And even, and I don't want to get biblical or religious tonight, even though I always can, in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, way from the beginning of time before journaling was even popular. This is before there was even a Barnes and Noble in Jerusalem, okay? In Deuteronomy 4:9, it says, "Don't forget the things your eyes have seen and let them fade from your heart. Remember them and teach them to what I think is our most precious treasure on the face of this earth. Teach them to your children." I'll do the other five or the other eight or the other 10 that I have next week and the weeks to come. But that's just some things that I learned this week. Now, TJ, if you would, at the wonderful BBS radio station, bring in our guest tonight. I want to see her face right next to mine because I want to introduce to you the author of the week and the one that has the trilogy that has come out and is complete, but I don't think the series is complete,
No.
just the trilogy. So bring her in, if you would, Amy Pollock. Amy is living in New Jersey, and welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, thank you. Thanks,
You have
Greg.
over 40 years experience in education, and
I
you
do.
just have taught children, and you're a grandma. You have your husband that's been photobombing in the background there and helping you with the technology.
Yes, I needed
And you
help.
have just got this second wind, second life of a young lady's name. And last week we had a child's author on that was a picture book that was two or three lines, really great story, but yours is not for 3 to 4 year olds. It's not a bedtime book.
No.
Yours is completely different. And Amy, I'm gravitating to these books because I've read all three. And to be
Oh,
honest with you, you're getting better and better and better.
thank you.
I really believe that. But welcome to the program. I want to
Thank
talk
you.
about this tonight. How are you doing tonight? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Good.
Thank you, Greg. And it's funny you should say that because I like my book three the best also. I was kind of realizing that. And I couldn't tell you necessarily why. Maybe my characters are getting more developed. They're doing maybe more, let's say, interesting things. Well, maybe that is. Maybe that is. Maybe I just was enjoying writing about them and being with them more. I don't know, but I do. I do like my
In
books.
your books right now, how old is Jelly Bean?
So she just turned 10, and I have one of my seven grandchildren is just about to turn 10. And that's kind of the age where, I mean, I write for preteens and I always get asked why. It's a frequently asked, naturally, question. And when I go into the schools, I talk to third, fourth, and fifth graders primarily. I've gone into younger where my one granddaughter's teachers, I said some of the content is a little more advanced. She said, you know what? Just talk about becoming an author. I said, I can do that. And I involved the boys and girls a lot. It's interesting what you were saying about journaling because I always have them write something. We always share. If they really, some aren't as capable of writing, let's say, as others, or they just don't want to. I always say it's not for a grade. This is just for fun. And they always learn something in my presentations. But we share them, and they can always do a picture if the writing doesn't come easily enough. Some of the classes are every now and again, there's someone who's new to English, which is a pretty tough language to learn. I even had, when I taught college, students that had a lot of difficulty with the language. But yeah, back to my book three, she confronts. I guess I'd have to say, if I had to sum it all up, my Jelly Bean character, who, as I said, has just turned 10. And I have my books are for preteens. I have nothing sexual, basically, except maybe skirting around the edges. No cursing, nothing like that. It's really for, I'm going to say, depending on how much of a reader the boy or girl is. 7 to 12 year olds. And sometimes when you said about being a bedtime story, sometimes it is good for the parent to read it to their child because you get into certain issues that you might not have an easy time of it ordinarily. I know from raising my three kids, they were very, very reluctant to talk about certain issues. And they're there. They're in there because they're part of life. And sometimes it's good to confront these with
You know,
your
Amy,
kid.
don't you feel, or you tell me how you feel, with what's going on in this world?
Crazy.
These children hear this, they watch this, they're impacted by it, they have access to it 24/7, literally, with their
Exactly.
phones, and this age group has phones. Whether that's good or bad, that's probably another discussion in another show.
Right.
But I mean, if I'm not wrong, when I read your third book, you talk about Taliban. It's like, did it not show up in your book?
I called it bad people that her oldest brother, who has joined the Marines, he, not to spoiler alert, he drops out of high school, which some kids do because it's just a better choice for them. Here, the parents are not happy about it. But she has, Jellybean has to explain to her class what he's doing there. And she said he's fighting bad people over there. That's what it is. And they are exposed to, whether we like it or not. Turn on the news, or if they walk past the TV and news is on, I don't know, lots of stuff out there that's not good. But I think it's kind of better in many cases if they are aware.
Well, I think I applaud you because your books don't dummy down, and I don't want to sound degrading what other books do, but you bring it up to a level to where they can understand it, but it's not like it's so simple. You're talking about real life in your books, and I want you to show all three of the books. The first one is The Adventures. There's a little Jelly Bean.
That's my adventure.
Adorable, adorable. And
Nice.
the
Oh,
second one,
I don't draw, but I love how they did the covers.
The Further Adventures.
And there's the
That's number
further
two.
adventures.
And then the next one is Still Further
The still
Adventures.
further. And even my grandchildren said, "Grandma, you have to think of something more creative for the fourth." I wish I, like, my one suggested the Chronicles of. So I said, "Okay, maybe," because I loved Anne of Green Gables and Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm and all that type of book. But she confronts death. Again, not a spoiler alert, but she has an older grandparent who passes away. And a lot of kids, I would say most, many if not most, have to confront that, process it, deal with that kind of thing. Just sad, but it's part of life. And also one of her friend's parents passes away, which
I
happened.
tell you what, I remember you talking about the titles of your books. Oh, Curious George. That person wasn't too great on titles either. Curious George Goes to the Park. Curious George Goes to the Zoo.
I
So you're
know.
doing fine. I mean, it's
Thanks.
all right because it's the impact of the book. And these books are, at least in the Kindle version that I got, is like over 100 pages.
They are. They're each like 161, 173, thereabouts.
It reminds me of the size of like the Hardy Boy, Nancy
Oh,
Drew mysteries.
yeah.
And they're
I
kind of like
love.
them, right? I mean, that has
Yeah.
nothing to do with mystery, but it's
Agree.
kind of that type of thickness, that type
Agree.
of reading. There's not pictures. That's just a beautiful cover, but not
Yeah.
any within the book.
Now I'm thinking for my book four, I do have someone that's going to do some illustrations for me because I went back to read. I don't know if you like the Laura Ingalls Wilder
Oh,
books.
yeah.
Well, I went back to them because my sister said, "You have to read these." And they have wonderful little illustrations there. So I can't draw. I can not even do a stick figure. But I have actually a young girl who wants to do some, she's very good, some illustrating for me. So I think that's going to be there. I do.
Great.
But she confronts a lot of important issues that aren't that easy to talk about.
And you introduce some new people, do you not? Carol Lee
Oh, I love Carol Lee.
and Brittany
Well,
Michael.
Brittany's been there a while. She's her friend who has had, well, as you were speaking about child abuse, has some in her background, this little girl. And you know how this happens frequently. Jelly Bean's parents would rather her not be such good friends with her. She's kind of from the wrong side of the tracks. This happens in a lot of households. And Jelly Bean at one point, so it doesn't spoil anything, it happens towards the beginning, says to her, "Mom, you just don't like her because she's poor." That happens in a lot of households. I mean, because I've worked with so many kids, including my own and my own children's friends, and this goes on. And it's a tough thing because what happens when you're a young girl or boy and you want to go up against your parents and you're thinking, I'm not really agreeing with them. How do I handle it? And I know my PR guy, Brian, said to me, "Your books, There's no real clear cut right and wrong, but he said, and this came out in some of my really good reviews, they make you think.
Yeah.
It's no pat, clear answers. And you know what? That's okay. That's
And that's
life.
life.
It is.
Yeah, and don't you think that I would prefer that? Because if you went into the military issue, you could put your own political views in there
Oh,
and
yeah.
try to sway the audience. You don't. You allow the parent to either read it to him or the child to read it, and then you can have
The
a
discussion.
conversation.
Oh, definitely, which is so important. And I have told that to a lot of parents over the years. The most important thing is keeping the lines of communication open, which is not always easy. You know, it's so easy to just walk away and, oh, just forget it. Because who's in the mood sometimes to have these arguments? But it is kind of important to at least get back to something if it's major and you're having a major disagreement. And come on, that happens between the generations continually, constantly.
Yeah.
How it is, fact of life.
Do you think that it's important for the parents to be able to encourage the mind expansion of what reading can do for a child? Because it seems like, they encourage this
I
and they
know.
want this to be the babysitter, but they don't want to take the time to take a child to Barnes and Noble or hand them a Jelly Bean book and
I
say, "Hey, I bought
know.
this for you. Read it. Let's talk about it when you're done, or let's go through it together." That's what it's all about. The love of reading can
No.
just expand a child's mind, don't you think?
It's so important. It's how
Yeah.
you enter different worlds and how we maybe one fine day can achieve some sort of understanding on this planet, which, you know, seems pretty tough and at a lot of times. And that I think that's the only way, or at least it's the best way, you know, to try to prevent what's going on in a lot of cases now.
I
All the
remember
schools
my
have.
oldest son, when the Harry Potter books came out. My sons didn't really enjoy reading that I knew of until that. And then when they came out, it was like, oh, and they would just be sitting in the living room reading. It's like, wow. And I'm not sure Harry Potter's going to change your world and their values or help them with life. It's more magical and adventurous. But I saw finally it opened a door. And I personally think, and I'm not Amy just saying this because you're the guest, I think that's exactly what Jelly Bean will do for the kids.
I
It
think
will
so.
open them door for love.
I do. That's certainly the hope, and it seems to be the case, because people have said that kind of thing to me, and I so agree. And when I was, well, I had my training to become a teacher of reading at it's so funny that title back in the 70s at Penn, at University of Pennsylvania, and I taught and helped a lot of kids with reading. Many have a tough, really tough time with it. Some don't have households where it's encouraged, as you were saying. And I would say to any of the parents who were receptive, let them start with the back of a cereal box with a comic book.
Yeah.
Anything that'll hold their attention, get started that way. And you can graduate, hopefully, with any luck, to something, you know, a little more important, a little more advanced, but you're gonna start somewhere. And you're so right. It's such an important, maybe the most important skill.
I think cereal boxes, General Mills, and all those had it right, because in the olden days, it seemed like there was something to always read on the back of the cereal box. I
know.
don't think it's quite that way anymore. It's more visual. It's more game related. Down, I'm not saying anything, but
Probably.
I love sitting and reading anything.
Yeah.
It's changed my life.
I
Oh,
do
it's
that.
time to take a break. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. If you want to get involved in this conversation, we're going to get into on the other side of this. I want to talk about. I have a couple questions for you, but then I also want to talk about some of the tips that you have maybe about raising children, because there's people listening right now that may need a little more wisdom. So on the other side of this break, feel free to jump in. 888-627. See how slow I'm saying this? 6008. So join us right now if you have a comment or a question for probably one of the up and rising child authors right now, Amy Pollack. Join us by calling into the radio station, 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after this short break. Hang with us.
Get ready for a life-changing journey from the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come. Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, Learning How to Turn Life's Pain into Life's Power and Purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
Looking over the text and seeing if we have any comments or anything. Welcome back. We have Amy Pollack, the creator of Jelly Bean and a trilogy of books. I've always wanted to do a trilogy. I have two of the trilogies done. I haven't got my third one out yet, but I enjoy that it's and probably, are you going to allow Jelly Bean to keep growing older in the back of your mind, Amy? Are you going to get her into high school?
I think so. I get asked that all the time.
Yeah.
I just think it would be a natural progression.
Wouldn't it though?
I think so. Yes. I'm going to.
A Little Orphan Annie was the same age for
well,
years. Yeah. I mean, let's let Jelly Bean experience maybe dating.
Yeah.
First kiss. Things that, you know, hormones deal with children.
Oh yes, that could be dicey, but I think I'm going to try it.
Yeah,
but I get asked that question a lot.
Puberty,
yeah,
is huge.
Oh boy.
Yeah, what's the diceiest thing that Jelly Bean
has had to deal with so far?
Yeah,
well, her one friend was anorexic.
Yeah,
and it's fairly commonplace. It really is. And she helps this one little girl. I don't want to give too much away. And there's that. And then her other friend whose father is a hitter. That happens. It's not wonderful. It's not nothing great there. So she's, you know, confronted by these various situations, which I kind of remember at the time, whenever there was something new and different and out of my realm of experience, it always kind of hits like a big shock. But I think it's important to confront, whether it's just how you give sympathy to somebody or how that makes you feel. And even like you're saying in journaling, it's sort of funny because, not haha funny, but I was telling my daughter, she was having, this is a whole different bag of worms. You know, it's hard with raising young kids. It just is, no matter how you cut or slice it, what issues they have and so forth. And I said, I know, I said to her, you know, I could just see the eyes rolling on the other side of the phone, but I said, I know I've said this before and I don't mean to be repetitive, but the best thing really is journaling. Because it, like you're saying, helps you put down what you're upset about, and ideas occur as a result. I'm not saying it's a total solution, and I told her to give that suggestion to her clients. She's a nutritionist, dietitian, and I said, I know it may sound trite, but it's extremely helpful. So there's that.
Do you mind map when you do your books?
Do I? Sorry?
Do you mind map?
Oh, huh. Write down what I'm going to write about.
Yeah, I mind map, in a circular motion of what each chapter is going to be. Then I web off each chapter. I didn't know if you did that with Jelly Bean or not, or you have a different method of
I
writing. How do
usually do
you put it
bullets,
together?
but that is such a good idea. And when I've taught writing over the years, I teach about that. But they should do as I say, not as I do. It is clear, totally the best way. But I do, and then I crumple it up and I start all over. And
Yeah.
yeah, have a
Yeah,
kind
I
of.
try to do it on sticky notes so I can move them around. I was
Oh,
like,
see,
wait,
that's.
that's not the right spot for that. So I rip it
Yeah.
off there and put it there. One of the things that I thought was really neat with the topic of this book, and like you said, we're not going to let the cat completely out of the bag, but we'll let the cat stick its head out, is you have a grandparent that gets married. Is that from your own life?
Yes. Oh,
Okay.
many of these things are based on my own life because that
Ah.
happened with my grandma. And, she had been living in my sister's room with her when she was widowed. And, we were, for the most part, happy for her. But it's hard as a kid when this is someone like, I mean, I try to be this way. Could she be based on me? Well, your grandparent usually, parents are really busy people. And generally speaking, your grandparent, not in all cases, has more time to listen to you. And so Jelly Bean misses that because she's the youngest of four and her parents have work. They have three other kids. They have various ups and downs. And here was someone living with her right in her room. At first she thought, oh, this isn't going to be so great. And then she became her favorite person. And she was a great listener. And my mom was that way too. She was a very good listener.
Yeah. And then eventually, what, the grandparent ends up
Oh,
moving
moving
away?
away. She moves away, which is, it's really hard. This, my book three is a lot of which kids do have to confront, and it's hard about change and loss.
That is loss. That's grieving, right?
I know. It's not easy.
No. And
I've been.
children, do you think that they have a good example to follow of
Oh.
how to handle when you're blindsided with some of these emotions? I mean, what's their way of handling it today?
I guess it depends on the family, but I would say for the most part, it's hard for a lot of kids, especially when the parents aren't around or can't be around. So, I had students that were even, oh gosh, what's the word for emancipated minors, where the
Yeah.
parents just signed off and left. That's an
And
extreme example.
yeah,
Nothing
that's
good.
hard.
Had some kids in my class that way, which is not great, but some really don't have much of an example or someone to turn to. But I guess I was pretty lucky. My parents were pretty attentive, but they were busy also. They weren't at my beck and call.
Right.
So, and then my dad died young. I mean, but I
And
was.
those are the things, Amy, that I think children need to have, those books, to be able to lose themselves in,
I
but
think
not
so.
lose their touch with reality, because it brings reality into their life that can kind of connect them with some wisdom. With some,
I
hey, I'm not the
agree.
only one that goes through this. Even this
Yes.
character in the book does.
I would say that is, well, I'll just read you quickly this little
Yeah.
quote that I happen to like. Okay, it's from Jane Austen. It's short. I declare, after all, there is no enjoyment like reading. How much sooner one tires of anything than of a book. When I have a house of my own, I shall be miserable if I have not an excellent library. It's so
Yeah.
true. Exactly what you're saying. It's just, I always had reading as a big, well, my dad always read to me, took me to the library, and then I was reading a lot. I mean, I didn't know anybody else who really read. I mean, I love being outside and playing and all kinds of other things as well, but reading was very key. I read all of Dickens between the ages of 9 and 16, so that was kind of unusual.
Tell you what, that's I think that's important to be
Yeah.
able to open them to that world of imagination.
So
When
important. Really is.
you came up with these 15 tips on how to help children be stress free or handle stress, what are the tips exactly, and how can people get their hands on these tips,
Oh.
or is it available to them?
Okay. On my website, I'm not that I'm the world's biggest authority on the topic, but just from my own experience and my own, dealing with other parents and students of mine, parents, the parents of students of mine, put it like that. So it's on my website, amypollock.com. And I guess, as I said before, well, the journaling is so major, helping them with that, keeping the lines of communication open, talking to them. I remember someone said this to me so long ago, way before I had my own children. I didn't quite know what they meant, but I remember this woman said she had to make time to listen to her kids when they wanted to talk. That's so hard because you're usually in the middle of something. So that was one pretty major thing. I'm trying to remember what else I had in there. I know it took me a lot of thought and a lot of doing, but I guess the communication. And then when you have a disagreement, which happens with great regularity, if you listen to your child, this is actually borrowed from somebody, and then you say to them, okay, I listen to you. Now, can you listen? Please listen to me, or can we make a time when you can listen to what I have to say that I think is important? Like their rules, which are, pretty tough when you have kids that are living home, but it is important. And, well, you treat me like a baby, my one son would say as he was growing up. Okay, well, let's agree on what you're willing to do and to be more mature and like letting me know what time you're gonna be in and how much you can are able to follow my household rules, which wasn't always working out because I had someone that was rebellious, let's just say. And also you kind of have to hang in there and try to not be sarcastic, let's say, for one example, when you might feel like it, and you have to try not to yell, try to say what you have to say in a measured way, as much so as humanly possible, and try to be there for them, I guess,
Yeah.
which is
So
probably.
is this 3-page 15 tips for raising successful and happy children? Is this right off your webpage?
Yes, that's
I'd
on
recommend to everybody. Hey, this is free of charge. Get on
my
there and download this because these are awesome tips.
Thanks.
And I think sometimes as parents, we always want to control
Yeah, you do.
What the child wants to talk about. And I love that number three, respond to whatever your child wants to be
Oh,
interested in and talk about.
so hard. Because, and again, I actually borrowed this from
And there's nothing original anymore. Everything is just
Nothing New Under
redesigned.
the Sun. Well, it's by two women, Lott and Nelson. I remember. I'll just give them a plug. I don't know if their book's still in print, but it was called Positive Discipline for Teenagers. Because I had read and I went through a lot of the books in the bookstore because I thought, okay, either this at the time, what I was going through with one of my kids. And I knew. It's funny, as my mom would used to say, if I would say, oh, such and such happened to me, or this teacher did this, or one of my friends did this, or she'd be, Amy, what did you do? And it's very hard to go back and be self-critical, but this particular book helped me a lot. Like, okay, say he wanted to talk about the uniforms that his band was wearing. Believe me, this was not of the utmost importance to me in any way, shape, or form. But I thought, okay, that's what's concerning him right now. You can't just squash it away. It might be
Right.
tempting, but it's better not to. And then you could say, okay, well, one thing that I think would be really beneficial or positive would be, and be concise. Like if you're droning on and on, your child is probably going to shut you out, most likely. And so that was helpful. And then I will think of
Do you
more.
think that it's important? I mean, obviously, I know the answer, but for parents to be able to have that open line, because I think a lot of times the greatest communication tool in the world is internet, but it's
Yeah.
also the one that damages the most ability to have good communication.
It's
Just
so
because you
true.
communicate doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah, that is very true. And it's good to just like one of my son's teachers gave me this advice when I said that he's not behaving or some such thing. She said, "Have you gone out alone with him, like to breakfast, lunch, or dinner?" And I was like, "No, I don't think so. Not really." So I made a big effort to do that, which is hard when you're working and you have other kids and so forth. But of course, someone next to us, some guy at the, our team is the Giants football team. That guy kept like joining in our conversations and wanted to just talk about, because my son, I guess he was wearing a Giants t-shirt. So that sort of derailed that a little, but it is important to make alone time with them. And the best time is if they're, if you go out to eat, because they're kind of stuck there with you. Not so easy, but.
And I think probably one of my, oh, I was so bad at this as a parent, and here I am, I'm preaching to myself really. Make time available.
Yeah.
Because what was that old song, Cats in the Cradle?
Oh, you're
To
so
where
right. I think about that.
Yeah.
Before you know it,
And
it's
then you want to call your kids up and they say, Dad, I'm busy. And
yeah.
that's the same line that you did to them when
Oof.
they wanted to talk to you. And that song makes me cry every time I hear it. But
Totally.
it's important for us to be available. And I
Yeah.
think right now, 8, 19 year old, if you have one of those children or grandchildren running through your house or coming over to visit. These books, Amy, are perfect catalysts for discussion. Hey,
Thank
read this.
you.
Let's talk about it
Yeah.
together, and it would
Right.
open up a lot of discussions, right?
It does. Oh, most definitely. Because she talks to her. Well, obviously, you've seen if you read my book three. I love Carolee. She's someone I wish had someone like that been with one of my relatives instead of who he did end up with. And when Jellybean is so curious about why she has a son already when she gets married to her uncle. And she takes her aside and explains what had gone on. Because there is divorce for a whole variety of reasons. And, the kids come across it. They're going to wonder. And it is good and important to talk about all that.
Do you think a lot of
Okay.
parents stray away from difficult conversations because they feel inept to be able to handle them in a intelligent manner? So I just won't discuss it and it'll go away.
A lot of people,
That's wrong, right?
Oh, I know. And that was the generation before me, very much so. Certain things just were not talked about at all. They were kind of swept under the rug. And you found them out later when you were an adult. You were like, oh, that's what was going on.
Yeah.
But right. But it is important to talk about however much they want to ask you. And it's funny because now, like you're saying, you kind of get it back what you had done or what you had said or how you had behaved. Let's say, so sometimes if my grandchildren are mad at their parents, do you know that song, Be Kind to Your Parents? I sing that to them and they're like, Grandma, what? Oh, they don't deserve it. It's a funny song, but it's kind of apropos.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes
It's
it's
hard
like,
to understand the generations. It really is.
what do you think with that thought in mind? Because we only got a minute or two, with that thought in mind, what do you think's the greatest threat that is being bombarded on our children right now that we need to be aware of? Because if we sweep that under the rug, what's going to happen to him? What do you think is really happening in our world right now that
Oh.
parents need to wake up and smell the coffee?
Oh, and talk about more. Maybe just, I mean, if I had more time to think about it, I might come up with something better, but maybe just learning to get along and learning to, like, I'll say to my kids often, well, that's so and so's belief system. And once I went around my class and tr we tried to talk about each other's religions and customs, and I had to stop it in the middle. It was so terrible. Because they were laughing at some of the kids who said their religions had like 10 or 20 gods. And they're like, oh, all right, guys, that's it. Which is sad. I mean, it should be worked out more. I mean, it may sound trite and, but to increase understanding and maybe should be classes in that, along with managing your finances, but that's a whole nother issue.
I think that's what our issue is with the world right now,
It is.
is we just want to fight people
Instead
that
of being
think different,
tolerant.
and that's not going to work
No.
because we're finding out even grown-ups that have been in politics act like children
I know.
when somebody disagrees, and our children
Right.
are seeing that and think
Oh.
that's the way we should respond.
It's a terrible role. It's a terrible model. For them to have to say, I so agree. It didn't used to be that way, but just for learning to be tolerant would be wonderful. Maybe classes in that, I don't know.
And working through it. In my era, I think Ronald Reagan was a great example.
Oh, I agree.
Somebody could take two people with two different opinions and sit down and get
Melding.
along and then laugh about it.
I know.
And instead of attacking each other,
You're so
they could have
right.
a cup of coffee.
No, he did have that skill. Absolutely. Yeah, he was wonderful. I guess, I mean, I'm 72, so I loved Kennedy and John Kennedy from the past. And yeah, things were very different then. You need a good model for youth in there.
And who's that model today?
Gosh, I don't know. I
That's
can't
sad,
really
isn't it?
answer.
It's sad that we got to go, oh, wait, let me think about that for a
I
second. It
know.
ought to be boom. And it used to be you would have people that you could say, oh, here. And we don't have that.
You're so right.
And I don't want to talk about, oh, what Charlie Kirk was, because probably not everybody knew who Charlie Kirk was
Right,
and
right.
is in a terrible situation and unbelievable impact that he made on our country and world. But
Yes.
not everybody was looking to him for that guidance. The middle era may have been the middle-aged people, the 20s and 30s. But there's just not someone right now that we can gravitate to, and it's sad.
And the sad part is who's good, someone that's good, would they want to be in that arena and risk getting shot at? Just that's a hot mess.
It is. It
Maybe
is.
you gave me some more ideas for my book four.
Well, I'll tell you what, it would be neat for Jelly Bean to even have to deal with that front page news of something like the arguments of what's happening in our world. I don't know, but you got another book in you that's gonna.
I'm in the middle of my book four.
Okay. Well, great. Can't wait to have you back to be able to
Thank
talk
you.
about that. Show you all three of your books again before we close out. Oh, you already put them away. Here you go.
No, it's in my mess of a.
Okay,
That's my
this is
book
the new one.
three.
And my opinion is you need to get the whole trio, right, for good
That's
Christmas
my.
gifts. The
Yeah,
Further
that's.
Adventure, because they do go hand in hand.
They do. That's
And
the
here's
same
the third
character.
person.
And like you said, do introduce new ones. And that's the original The Adventures of.
And they're all excellent books. Amy,
Yeah.
thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Greg. So
And you're always
appreciate it.
welcome to come back when that fourth one's getting close or just being released. Come on back
Thank
and
you.
we'll talk about it and share them with the world. We
I
appreciate it.
appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for staying up late because it's later there than it is here, right? You're in New
Yeah,
Jersey?
it's a little before 10.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's only 9 o'clock here. So thank you so much and tell your husband thanks for sharing your time with us.
Take care. Thank you, Greg.
Okay. Good night. Thank you
So
so much.
long. Thanks.
Like we do each and every week, because I think it's so vastly important that if we just threw out all the issues that kids are dealing with right now and our world's going through, and then not have any common sense to be able to talk about that there's light at the end of the tunnel. I want to let you know, you don't even have to get to the end of the tunnel to see the light. There's books like this that Amy has written. There's people that want to help, that
Yeah.
want to talk, that want to share, that want to just listen. So if you're a parent and you don't know where to turn, hey, text me, 832-396-6525. I'll give you all the information to be able to reach out and get some of the resources that Amy has. I'll be able to listen to you. You're not in this alone. And our children should never. Don't let them be in a room alone talking to AI about the best step they need to take next. That's going to be a mistake, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. Don't let them trust in what the internet has to give them, or God forbid, what AI is suggesting they do or try to talk them into or out of. No, let's go a little bit deeper. Let's do personal one-on-ones. Take time to spend time with your kids, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your kids are going through, no matter how helpless you feel right now, lean in. There's always hope. There's always hope. Get these trilogy of Jelly Bean books for your kids and your grandkids right now. God bless you. Thanks for being with us. Join us next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence, live from Houston, Texas. Have an awesome week. Good night,
Thank you.
and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.